book of the Bible today. All right, so we'll go ahead and pray and get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and thank you for the privilege of having them, Lord. And it is a privilege to have your words, and we pray that we would keep that in mind. Without your words, we'd be in a world of hurt and heading for even more hurt, Lord. And we're so grateful for that. And now we pray, Lord, that we would just open our eyes, open our hearts to hear your words today. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 23. We left off in verse 36. Last week in Matthew chapter 23, we saw that Jesus continued his rebuke on the Jewish leaders, and he puts the blood of everyone that was ever slain on the earth, on them. And we saw how that Jew is related to the mystery of Babylon, these Jewish leaders. They're related to the mystery of Babylon because Babylon was also blamed for killing the killing of all the righteous and everyone that was on the earth, everybody that's ever been slain. And we saw that last week in Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. But all throughout Matthew 23, you notice that Jesus, he says, "Woe unto you! Woe unto you! Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees!" And so he's aiming these woes at these religious leaders, and really, folks, these woes can be aimed at any unsaved person. Really, it can be, because I mean, some of it may not apply to an unsaved person, like the greater damnation, but the damnation of hell is applied. Right, and so most of all, this can be aimed at any unsaved person. But Jesus is directing this at the Jewish leaders of Israel, the scribes, the Pharisees, including in there is the Sadducees and that whole bunch. So, verse 36, the Bible says, "Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation," all these things. And so what are all these things? One is being abased. Being abased, verse 12, chapter 23. "And whosoever shall exalt himself," the Bible says, "shall be abased. And he that humbles himself shall be exalted." And these religious leaders are exalting themselves to high positions. And all these things are going to come upon them. One of them is abased. They're going to be abased. Another one, verse 14. The greater damnation. That's coming upon them. All these things shall come upon them. Greater damnation. Why? Because they're using their religious position to steal from people that they should be helping. The widows. So they're going to get the greater damnation for that. People that they should have been helping and giving them the truth, they're giving them a lie to steal from them. Steal whatever they have left in life. After they lost their husband, they try to get everything they can from them. Another one that shall come upon that generation is the damnation of hell. That's found in verse 33, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Why are they serpents? Why are they vipers? Jesus has just put upon them, he's just getting ready to tell them, hey, everybody that's ever been slain, it's upon their at their hands. They're responsible for that blood. And we went through last week that the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. And so he puts these guys right in the same bunch as the devils and his people, his angels. He puts them right in there. But that's what's going to come upon that generation. And the blood for blood revenge is going to be put upon that generation. Verse 35. that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed. At the hand of man, if you shed somebody's blood at the hand of man, your blood's going to be shed. Your blood's going to, so God's going to put it on them, on that generation. And that's Genesis 9. I think that's 9, verse 5 and 6. Let's see if that's it. Yeah. And surely, the Bible says, Genesis 9, 5, the Bible says, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. God's going to get you for that. If somebody kills somebody, he's coming after you. And let me tell you, folks, if you don't get in, if you're unsaved, you don't get in Jesus Christ, you're guilty of killing Jesus Christ. And he's going to require that of you. He's going to get you for that. Because he died for every man's sin. And that was placed upon him at the cross. And so you're responsible for that, that way. It's like you were right there killing them. And so, but why are these things coming upon this generation? The Jew at the time of Christ has rejected Jesus Christ. What are they rejecting? They're rejecting all of the Old Testament prophets. Because all the Old Testament prophets prefigured Christ. They prefigured him. They are the same that rejected the law. They're the same that rejected the law. Jesus Christ, he is the law. He is the law. And he is the righteousness of the law. Right? Didn't Jesus come to fulfill the law? The Bible says that he came not to abolish it, but to fulfill it. He came to fulfill the law. Did he? And so he did. Of course he fulfilled the law. When Cain rejected Abel, it was the same as rejecting Jesus Christ. It was the same thing. Abel gave the right sacrifice. And he was a witness to his brother. He was a witness to his brother because his sacrifice came through. And Jesus, I mean, God told it, Cain. And he got mad at his brother and he killed him. Why? Same way the prophets, the same way that Jewish leaders did. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear that they're wrong. Pride. And so, but when Cain rejected Abel, it was the same as rejecting Jesus Christ. When all of the Old Testament Jews rejected the prophets and the law, they rejected Jesus Christ. They did. They rejected Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, it talks about to accept a prophet is to accept a prophet in the name of who the prophet comes. Look, if you would, in Matthew. Matthew 10:41. We'll start in verse 40. The Bible says, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give... I mean, they're receiving a prophet, it's like receiving Jesus Christ. Especially when they bring the message, when they bring God's message that God told them to bring. God's the one that sends them, folks. And when a person rejects those that Christ sends, they reject Christ, whether they seen Christ or whether they understood what the prophet was saying about Christ or not. A lot of times the Old Testament prophets didn't even understand what they were saying. But they said it anyway, because God told them to. Look, if you would, in John 13. John 13, verse 20. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." Receiveth him that sent me. The prophets in the Old Testament were sent by Jesus. And they were rejected. They were sent by Jesus, and they were rejected. Those in the New Testament are sent by Jesus, and what happens to them? They're scourged. They're beaten. They're killed. They're killed. And they're rejecting Jesus Christ, folks. When a wise man comes to a person and says, "Hey, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." "Well, I don't like the way that that guy talked to me. And I don't like the way that that guy's dressed. And maybe he's not doing this right." Well, who are they rejecting? They're rejecting Jesus Christ. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus sends a person and that person is rejecting, they're not only rejecting Jesus Christ, but they're rejecting God the Father. That's what the Bible says. And so I hope you can see that how Jesus Christ was not only he was rejected in the Old Testament, he's rejected in the New Testament the same way. The same way. And those that are going to reject Jesus Christ, they get the damnation of hell, the Bible says. They get the damnation of hell. He sent them prophets, they rejected, damnation of hell. He sent them wise men, rejected, damnation of hell. Look at Moses. Moses is a picture of the law, whom Jesus Christ sent. Did he not send them? He sent them. And so he sent Elijah as well. And Elijah is a picture of the prophets, whom Jesus Christ sent. And you look at Moses. Those that rejected Moses rejected Jesus Christ. They did. And what happened to them? They went straight into the pit. They went straight into the pit. Look, if you would, in Numbers. Numbers 16. Numbers 16, verse 3. We all know the story of Korah. Bible says, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And I spake unto Korah and all his company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show you, will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him." And so here this Korah, he's rejected. And where does it say this at here? I'm reading down here. Oh, we'll just go ahead and read it. And so anyway, "This do, take ye censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi." And Moses said unto Korah, "Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, against the Lord." There it is. They're gathered against the Lord. And the Lord looks at it as they're against him. And let's see where... Yeah, verse 44. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take ye a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. That's not it. Where does he go down into the pit here? Yeah, okay. And it came to pass, as ye had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. And so they rejected Jesus Christ. They go into the pit. Damnation of hell. They rejected Moses like rejecting Jesus Christ. And that's the end result of all who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they're in the Old Testament or whether they're in the New Testament. You reject a prophet, you're rejecting God, you're rejecting Jesus Christ, into the pit. Into the pit. And when a person rejects the messenger, they are rejecting the one who sent them and the message that's being sent. And people, folks, people reject God's messengers for all different reasons. Sometimes they're not dressed right. Sometimes they're rejected because the guy speaks in a hard tone or in a loud voice. Pride gets in the way, and you're like, I don't want to hear that guy. Or their mannerisms. There's a lot of reasons why the messenger is rejected. And the message is rejected because they don't like the messenger. And you're rejecting God. You're rejecting Jesus Christ and his words. That's the Bible, folks. And it's a hard thing. We got to be careful on why we're not listening or why we're not receiving the Word of God. Is it because we don't like the messenger? It's something to think about. And we got to keep ourselves in check at all times because it can really get in the way. And you know, as I study and stuff and I go through correspondence, I never get to see the person, right? Usually. I don't get to see the people that I'm studying off of or whatever in school. And I want to know what the Bible says. And we got to be real careful when we're looking at mannerisms and voices and stuff like that, that we don't reject the Word of God. Because, I mean, I didn't write the Bible. And we reject the messenger, reject the message, rejecting Jesus Christ, rejecting his words. So, verse 37. Enough on that one. Matthew 23, verse 37. The Bible says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. Now, it's not the walls here, and it's not the streets that killed the prophets, folks. We know that, right? What Jesus is doing here is he's identifying the city with the people that were part of it, okay? And that live in it, whether it's lived in it at that time, before that time, or later on in the future. But Jerusalem is said to be a mother in different places in the scriptures. And in fact, the New Jerusalem, which is a Jerusalem in type, is said to be the mother of us all. In Galatians. Galatians 4:26. Galatians 4:26. The Bible says, but Jerusalem, which is above, that's the New Jerusalem, is free, which is the mother of us all. Okay? And so, but in the Old Testament and different places, it's said to be a mother bearing children. And so, that's what Jesus is saying here. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together. He's talking about Jerusalem. Thy children together, the nation of Israel here. Even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And so Jesus sent he sent prophet after prophet, right? He sent prophet after prophet, scribe after scribe, wise men after wise men to that Jew for the purpose of getting that Jew to trust in God. That's why he sent them. Because they were trusting in their own righteousness. And God wanted them to trust in him. And all throughout the scriptures, you see, they didn't want God. They wanted a king. Right? They didn't want the prophet. They wanted to do things on their own. Look, if you would, in Psalm 36. Psalm 36. God wants a man to trust in him. In every age, folks. That's what it's about. That's what it's about here. 36. It's not about you doing works. It's about trusting in God. Psalm 36, verse 7. The Bible says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." Right? God's interested in you trusting him. It doesn't matter what age you're in. And that's what the prophet was sent for. Turn back to God. Turn to God. Get rid of your idols. Get rid of your good works. Turn to God. Trust in him. It's always been about that, folks. Yeah, there's no born again in the Old Testament, but the gospel's preached to the people in hell that get to come out. They got to get the gospel before they come out. They got to get the good news before they come out. And so the trusting in God is the issue here. And in every age. But these people, they rebelled. He's sending people to get them under his wings. He's trying to get them under his wings. He's trying to get people to trust in him. They rejected. They rejected. They rebelled against the prophets. They rebelled against the scribes. They rebelled against the wise. And in doing so, they rebelled against God. And God's will here, if you look back in Matthew, is for people to come to him here. God's will is for people to come to him. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. It's God's will that everybody trust in him, and they wouldn't come. They wouldn't come. And it's God's will that everybody comes under his wings, and that's under his teachings, that's under his guidance, that's under his direction, and then what you have is man's will. Right in the same passage, and they would not. God's will is that you come, they would not. God's will is that you come to Jesus Christ, come to him through Jesus Christ, and most won't. Most won't. And so that shows you here that John Calvin and irresistible grace that he taught is just imagination in his head. It's not faith, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Where's irresistible grace in the Bible? If it's not there, it's an imagination of the guy's head. It's just an imagination. It's not faith. It's nothing. Even though he believes in it, it's an imagination. And we're to cast down vain imaginations, the Bible says. If it doesn't match the Bible, it's just an imagination. It's not faith. And so, there's no God? That's not faith. Because the Bible says there is a God. It's a man's imagination. And he needs to cast that down or never come to God and get saved. But this irresistible grace, it's just an imagination of a heretic. And folks, God's will can be resisted. And it is resisted all the day. And that's according to God's word. It can be resisted. God can't overcome the will of man. He won't. Why? Because it's not in the Bible. He's not going to overcome the will of man. For God to use a man, the man has to be in submission. Okay, what about the Old Testament prophet that God just took at his will? Well, he was in submission to God somewhere. God's not going to go against a man's will. Especially for salvation. The Bible says, to many as received him. You have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to receive God's gift, his mercy. You can't just think that it's automatically going to be put to you. Go with me, if you would, to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 13. I got to hurry, or we're not going to get through. The Bible says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There is no Holy Spirit of promise, folks, without first hearing the word of God and then believing the word of God, trusting the word of God. You're not going to trust something that you don't believe, folks. All right? Believing the word of God. And so, irresistible. If you don't do that, you've resisted God. You've resisted. Look, if you would, in 1 John. I think it's 1 John. First John 1. Wow. I'm not getting all scared about that. No, it's not First John. But anyway, if a person doesn't believe the gospel, they've resisted the will of God, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, folks. And if you perish, it's because you've resisted God. And what happens? You earn to yourself the damnation. Yeah. Okay. What's going on here? Verse 38. We're going to get through this chapter here. 23, verse 38. The Bible says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. This is the worst thing that God could ever do to somebody, folks, is to leave you desolate. Whether you're a city, whether you're a nation, whether you're an individual, the result of desolation is found in Romans 1, when God gives up on you, when he gives up on a nation, you start doing things that you would never have done. You change God's truth into a lie, and you read Romans, and that's what's going to happen in progression. The more you do, the more God gives up. And he gives up on a person three times, and then you just turn over to yourself. And God help you if you ever get to that point. And so when a nation or individual rejects the truth or changes the truth of God, God turns them over, or as Matthew says here, your house is left desolate. All right? And anything that God's not in ends up in a desolation. It's what the Bible says, Ichabod. The glory of the Lord hath departed. All right? And that's found in 1 Samuel 4:21. God left that nation. But the glory of the Lord departed from the nation because of something with the ark that they did. They did something with that. But verse 39. The Bible says, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, they seen him on the cross, folks. And so this verse has to be talking about something else. And the key is found in verse 38. He's leaving the house. He's leaving the temple. You're going to find that. The key is in chapter 24, verse 1. When he leaves the temple this time, he doesn't come back in until he comes back again. And he builds a new temple. All right? And so, but this is the last time that Jesus is in the temple until he comes back at his second coming. And at the second coming, he's going to oust the devil. He's going to oust the devil out of the house of God. And that Jew will see Jesus in the temple once again in the millennium. Okay? And so here is another place in the Bible that shows that the desolation of the house of Israel, he's departed from their house, from them, from the temple. That desolation is temporary, folks. It's not permanent. It's not permanent. And it's a temporary condition. And Zechariah 13:9 shows that during the tribulation, that Jew will call out on the name of the Lord. It says right here, "For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And we'll go to Zechariah, and we're almost done. I didn't find it. Zechariah 13:9. The Bible says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried." That's those Jews. "They shall call upon my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God." Right? The Lord is my God, and God's going to hear him. Well, folks, Matthew chapter 23. Did we get through it? Verse 39. We got through it. "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." That's Matthew 23. And notice, if you would, there are 39 verses in that chapter. 39, right? That's 13 times 3. 13 is the number for a rebellion. It's the number for cursing, and it's a bad number, folks. It's a bad number most of the time. And there's 39 chapters or 39 books in the Old Testament, and 13 times 3 is 39. 39. Then the last book of the Bible ends with a curse. All right, and right now, to this day, Israel has God has put a curse on them. And why? For the righteous blood that has been shed in the Old Testament, for the righteous blood that's been being shed today, and the righteous blood that's going to be shed in the tribulation, and for the righteous person that they killed, which is Jesus Christ on the cross. They said that his blood be upon our head and our children's. And that's happening, folks, and it's going to continue to happen until they call upon him. We'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and Father, we thank you that we can come and gather together on a day that's set aside. I mean, you don't say that it's sin to be here or not to be here, but we're thankful that we can come have a day to come to church, Lord, and we're grateful for that, and we pray that you bless the services today, for Christ's sake, amen.